today on Real Radio.
And people say, well, you know what? I believed all these years. I don't believe now. They didn't lose their salvation. They never had it. They blended in. They had a lamp. They had some oil. But they didn't endure to the end. And that was for a reason.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series on the parables of Jesus. We're looking at the book of Matthew, chapter 25 today, which records a parable that deals with the last days. The parable of the 10 virgins has lots of symbolism, as in the case of many parables. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his series on the parable of the 10 virgins.
Look, we're humans. We're mere humans. And as a Christian, I need all the help I can get. Amen? So how can I be ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? What makes me able to have the impossible happen in my life? It's not you and it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. And we're going to talk about what that means. So will you look with me verses 2-5? We're still on that one point. Know what you believe. It's this. When he announces there, verse 2, that five of them were wise, you ought to circle that. Now, five of them were wise. You ought to circle that, okay? And five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and, or but, took no oil with them. Now, verse 4, you ought to circle verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels or skins with their lamps. Verse 5, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. They lived their lives, and the bridegroom did not return as quickly as they had hoped. Meaning, they were to be, listen everybody, efficient. They were to be governing their time. Even though they were invited, watch, like that couple I'm going to tell you about, they all gathered for the reception. They're waiting. And this guy, you know, he didn't do 7 days, but he called all of his friends, okay, and for 3 days, they didn't know when he was going to come during those 3 days. This happened. A guy from this church did this. And in this case, in the Bible case, you're waiting there for a week. And he could come the first day. He could come the third day. He could come the second day. He could come. You got to be ready. But look, once he comes, then the reception lasts 7 days. Isn't that neat? That is really cool. And so, waiting is part of the thing, but you don't know if he's going to come the first day or the third day or the seventh day. So you are to conduct, listen, you're to conduct yourselves wisely, knowing it could take a while. How about for us? It could take 2,000 years. How about for us right now? We're seeing all these things going on in the globe around us. What does that mean to us? It could be soon. We hope it's soon, but it could be soon. Know what you believe. And I wonder, listen, as we get into this, what comes to your mind when you hear words like this? Authentic. Authentic means real. Organic. That means pure. Okay? What about fundamental? That means basic, foundational. Original means first. The important thing about these words is when you look at the Bible and you read the Bible, let the Bible speak to you for what it says. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, friends and foes, listen, when you read the Bible, don't try to tell it what it should tell you. You need to approach the Bible and let it speak to you. It's alive. The Holy Spirit will see to that. So as we look to this parable, and tonight we want to focus on what source is it that makes us ready, it's symbolized in this parable by the oil. The oil. Now, the Holy Spirit has been symbolized or displayed typologically throughout Scripture as being oil. There's the anointing oil of the Old Testament, which symbolized the Holy Spirit. Remember when the kings of Israel were anointed kings, what happened? The priest came and poured oil on the top of his head all the way down to his feet. I mean, he was covered in oil. When we anoint people today with oil, again, we are unscriptural because we don't want to destroy their clothing. But we dab a little oil on somebody. I'm sure the Lord doesn't care about the volume of oil. It's all about the faith regarding what's going on. But to be anointed with oil, you've read that in the Bible. Did you anoint him or her with oil? And that's great. You're to do that. But listen, in the old days, it was not only poured out upon them and it covered them, but it was so meaningful. It signified their position. It signified the Lord's presence. That's the covering, the oil upon him, that this man or this woman or this temple utensils were dedicated to God. It spoke of God's absolute possession of this person and sanctification to God's use. And so with that, it's organic and it's authentic and it's fundamental and it's original. That oil is the symbol of the Holy Spirit throughout Scripture, both Old and New Testament alike. In Exodus chapter 30, the Bible tells us, verse 31, "And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me, says God, throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it." By the way, when he says poured on man's flesh, poured upon those who are unclean or not appointed. According to its, look, he says, don't make another one like it according to its composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, a mimic, a knockoff, a false representation, or whoever puts any on it on an outsider shall be cut off from his people or from the nation Israel. This is serious business. God says, you try to do a knockoff of the anointing oil that I've prescribed, and it's going to take your life. It's going to cost you your life. It's so serious to God. It's taking ministry and making it false. It speaks of false teaching. It speaks of false priesthood. It speaks of a false prophet. It speaks of a fake, false ministry. One that looks real, but God knows that's not the right oil. That's fake. People may not be able to discern it because very crafty people make up that false anointing oil. And people will mimic what the Holy Spirit really does. They'll mimic it. You know what's terrifying about that? Are you ready for this? You guys, remember when Moses confronted Pharaoh's magicians and soothsayers? Those guys did everything Moses did. And God wasn't in their miracles. You need to be ready for these days. The Bible tells us in the last days, many people are going to be deceived because there will be those coming with a slightly different gospel message, mind you. But they can do signs and wonders. And if your child is blind and you just heard that some guy out in the park is preaching some message and it's a little bit off from the Bible, but your child is blind and you just heard that he opened the eyes of some blind kid. Don't tell me you're not going to be tempted to take your child over there and compromise doctrine so that your child could see. Could you imagine? A demonic power can do those things. In the last days, during the tribulation period, there's going to be false demonic miracles. So listen, we want to ask this question. I was thinking, why would these virgins, five of them, why would someone take a lamp without taking spear oil? What is Jesus telling us here? What's he warning us about? They've got lamps, but they're foolish. And I wrote these things down. If they mean something to you, then great. Maybe number one, they're hoping to get filled up later on. That's what they asked the other five girls. Hey, help us. Maybe they were leaning upon the provision of others rather than looking to God. Number two, hoping that they might be able to get some stuff, you know, from other people. Not only get it filled up later, number one, but number two, just leaning upon others. Number three, hoping to blend in among those who have the oil to not be detected. We'll just get in a big crowd. We'll just hang out in a big church. We'll just hide in a big church. It's easy to hide in a big church. We'll just look like everybody. We won't be totally like them, but we'll be like them enough. These were five virgins. They had lamps. They were invited. What about number four? Hoping that maybe in the end it just wouldn't matter. Yeah, we'll believe. But if it gets too goofy, gets too demanding as time goes on, if he doesn't come back soon enough, I'm going to give up. I'll wait for Jesus as long as he comes soon. There's people like that. You know that? It's church, listen, it's happening now. You say, what do you mean? I know Christians who I've known for decades who are now giving up on their husbands. They're giving up on their kids. They're giving up on their wife. They're giving up on Jesus. Some guy walks by and bats his eyes at her or waves his wallet at her. And she's tired of this living by faith junk. She's tired of just barely getting by. And she goes for it. She abandoned. Listen, these are the last days, man. And people say, well, you know what? I believed all these years. I don't believe now. They didn't lose their salvation. They never had it. They blended in. They had a lamp. They had some oil. But they didn't endure to the end. And that was for a reason. Regarding the Holy Spirit, as we kind of take this right-hand turn now, we talk about our relationship to the very one who will see to it that we are ready. Not only listen for the Lord's coming, but ready should tonight be the night God calls you home. Or maybe tomorrow morning you might get your pink slip. Look, we're all going to get a pink slip. The doctor may call you tomorrow and say, here's the results of your test. We're all going to get that news someday, one way or the other. Do you understand that? It's real quiet in here right now. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to make you ready. Do you understand that? Can I even say this? It's not your knowledge of the Bible that's going to have you be ready. You can be a theologian and you can write books and you can witness to everybody in the universe and you can be quoting scripture left and right. It's the Holy Spirit. John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus said, the Bible says here about Jesus, that on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, and here is his announcement, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink, and whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke, church, listen, concerning the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. The word glorified means crucified and resurrected. Are you guys all listening? This is critical. You miss this verse and you're not going to get the rest of the night. I'm serious. The Holy Spirit cannot yet come upon someone or in someone until something happens. Jesus had to die on the cross and be resurrected from the dead, says the Bible. Okay? John 7, verse 40. Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, truly, this is the prophet. Others said, and they said it correctly, this is the Christ. Isn't that great? By the way, there's those running around today who do not have the Holy Spirit, and they say, Jesus is the great prophet. You ever meet those people? Jesus is a great, great prophet. Guess what? They don't have the Holy Spirit in their life because Jesus is not a great, great prophet. Jesus is the Christ. The Bible teaches that the Christ is none other than God come to earth in human flesh. He's not a prophet. He's God. So watch out for that. Regarding the issue of the baptisms that you've read about in Scripture, that you've heard about in Scripture, church, mark this down. Number one, what we are not talking about in this parable is what we would call is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not by the Holy Spirit, but of, watch this. The Holy Spirit baptism regarding salvation is found in 1 Corinthians 12:13. I want you to mark this down. We are not talking about this tonight. For by one Spirit were we all baptized into, that's a very key word in Greek, it's the word in, which sounds like our word in. It means to be placed inside the body or the body of Christ, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. The moment, listen everybody, the moment you were saved, You said, Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins. I believe you died and rose again from the grave. I believe you're Christ. The moment that happens, the Holy Spirit moves inside of you. 1 Corinthians 12. How many of you are Christians right here tonight? Raise your hands. The moment you accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit came inside you. He only does that once. He only has to do it once. He moves inside. And by the way, Ephesians and other books of the Bible, Romans tells us that he seals us in that instant with ownership. You are owned by God. You are bought with a price, sealed with the Holy Spirit, property of God. In fact, I can say it this way. It is so powerful and so true that the Holy Spirit in that moment takes possession of you. Oh, that sounds scary. Listen, it's the best news that could possibly happen to you. If you are not possessed by the Holy Spirit, you could get possessed by an unholy spirit. Okay? You want to have God own you. And by the way, he says that when I move into that temple, that person, I don't share that temple with anybody from that moment on. I'm happy about that. That's good news. Pastor, I'm a Christian. Can I be possessed? No. You can be stupid. You can be depressed. You could panic. You could be scared to death. You could be oppressed. You can be suppressed. But a Christian cannot be possessed. It's impossible. It violates the very, very ownership of God in the life of the believer. It's not going to happen. But listen. In John chapter 20, verse 21, I've asked this of you over the years. I'm going to ask it again because it's just flat out fun. Do you know where in the Bible, I just told you where, John 20, 21, when was the first person ever born again? That's a good question. Yeah, I tell you what, you can go ask that question on a Bible, Christian university campus. A lot of people won't know the answer. They're not even taught this stuff. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again from the grave, who was the first guy born again? Watch this. And no, you're wrong. It was not the thief. Are you ready for this? John chapter 20, verse 21. The disciples are gathered together. You can read John chapter 20 later in its full context. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you." Verse 22. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In that moment in John chapter 20, the disciples were born again that second. So you guys are smarter than so many Bible students right here, right now. They were born again in John chapter 20. After the resurrection, Jesus breathed on them. Isn't that awesome? He went, and the Holy Spirit went inside of them, and they were born again at that very first moment. That happened once. Jesus did it, but he got the ball rolling. And the Holy Spirit has been doing that ever since. But we're not talking about that tonight. We're talking about not the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about tonight, because I put that out there so you wouldn't be confused. Well, Pastor, I thought I had the Holy Spirit when I got saved. You've got him, and he's got you. What we're talking about tonight is what is called the coming upon of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. It's called the epi experience. E-P-I in Greek. It's a totally different word. It doesn't mean to indwell. The word means to come upon those who are already indwelled. Is that not cool? The Holy Spirit comes upon those who he already indwells. So it kind of goes like this. He's inside this believer, never to leave you or forsake you. But when that believer decides to step out and use their Christian life for something, the Holy Spirit will come upon you for power so that it's not you doing it, but it's the Spirit of God doing it. And by the way, when that happens, and you know it's happening in somebody's life because they should be marked by humility, because of all people, they know that what they're doing is not of themselves. When you see people strutting around about their ministry, I turn it off. I'm dead serious. When I hear guys talk about my ministry, I leave. I just walk away from the conversation. I don't want to hear about it. You know, it's theirs. It is their ministry. I don't want to be involved in my ministry. That would be disaster. You want to be involved in his ministry. It makes all the difference in the world. So Acts 1:7, And he said to them, Jesus is speaking, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put into his own authority. Well, why? Because he has 2,000 years of work that needs to be done. But you shall receive, what is it, everybody? Power when the Holy Spirit, what? Comes what? Not in you, upon you, epi. And you shall be, notice the result, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. All by the power of the Holy Spirit. The epi experience, Ephesians 5, verse 17. Ephesians 5, 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine. Why can't I drink? I think I can drink. Jesus made wine, didn't he? Why can't I drink? A lot of Christians, oh, I want to drink. They're all up about it. They want to debate people. We want to debate you on this thing. We believe we have the liberty to drink. You know what is so stupid about that? They're so committed to this argument. I wish they were just as much committed to that argument as they are about being filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. They want to talk about, can a Christian drink? Why waste your money and time? And why risk stumbling people who might see you? And I don't know about you. I don't know, man. Now, I'm fighting both stupidity in my own life and old age. It's tough. Okay? And one teaspoon of alcohol kills about 5,000 dendrites in your brain. And I don't know about some of you, but I need all the dendrites I can get. Okay, so think about that for a minute. Well, Pastor, you're quenching me, man. Don't judge me. Would to God that the church would be pumped up about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So look what Paul says. Don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. It possesses you for a moment, and then you got to go to the bathroom. You sweat it out. Your metabolism eats it up, and it's over. The influence is gone. He says, why waste your time? But look, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now look at the result of being filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Christian maturity comes out of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord. Joy! Budweiser's not going to make you joyful. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankfulness. We should be the most thankful people in California. You said, wait, did you hear what you said? We live in California, man. It's crazy. We should be the most thankful. Okay? Submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. You cannot submit to one another in the fear of the Lord without the Holy Spirit possessing your life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Ten Virgins. It's actually a mini-series taken from Matthew chapter 25, The Parable of the Ten Virgins, part of Pastor Jack's collection of studies on the parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, the church is experiencing a storm right now. There is decreasing attendance, watered-down messages, pastor burnout. Well, we have a book that comes highly recommended by Pastor Jack. It's simply called Storm by Jim Cimbala. Cimbala tackles the problem not with despair, but with hope. With inspiring stories of changed lives and growing churches, he draws listeners back to prayer, offers ways to lead them with love, and reminds listeners why the message of grace matters more than political trappings. He also explores the atmosphere of the early church, which flourished despite far worse conditions than Christians in the West face today. This is Pastor Jack's pick for our book of the month, Storm, subtitled Hearing Jesus for the Times We Live In. Go online and read the reviews. Storm by Jim Cimbala is available for purchase at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.